We always give thanks for all of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We always give thanks for all of you. Now there's a greeting that will take you back just a bit. Other translations put it, we give thanks to God always for all of you. In our epistle this morning, Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica that he is always praying for them and giving thanks to God for all of them. And maybe Paul was pouring it on perhaps a little thick. But this seems to be a greeting that can sometimes put one on the defensive. Because if we're honest, we can't reply that we are always praying for Paul. And if we're honest, we cannot say that we are always faithful in any of our prayers completely, that we are always praying for one another. In fact, there are days when I never get fully into my own personal devotional life. Even more typically, the focus of our prayer life changes almost daily. We don't pray for the same thing over and over, because of different concerns, different issues in our lives. Few of us pray always. Seldom does our agenda remain always the same. We pray for others because we desire that they receive a new blessing, that God may help them through a new problem, that God will give to those who are without work with new jobs, that God will heal those whom we love from their illnesses, and that those we love who go on to new ministries will in other places be successful. Paul says that he gives thanks to God always for the blessings that are constantly being revealed in the life of this congregation at Thessalonica. And in doing so, he cites three very exciting witnesses that I want to really bring to your attention today. He says, I pray this morning that he says that the power of God in the life of that congregation is so important that he brings these three areas of importance and awareness to them. And personally, I want to pray this morning that our family here at St. Mark's can reflect on these in our family life together. And they are the works of faith, the labors of love, and the endurance inspired by the hope in Jesus Christ. First, about the works of faith. Here Paul is talking about the effects of faith in the lives of people, of individuals. The change that faith produces in the heart and the mind of the believer. Faith links facts to meaning. It's that which leaps into the unknown by trusting the unseen. One of my favorite poets, the gentle Emily Dickinson, describes the work of faith as the peerless bridge supporting what we see unto the seen that we do not. Too slender for the eye. The work of faith is to seek understanding. It takes us from the facts and it carries us toward meaning. Especially, it provides us a way to live with all our contradictions into a meaningful and purposeful way. Indeed, all of our lives are full of contradiction. I don't know anyone who really relishes contradiction. Yet enormous spiritual work is launched every day on propositions embedded in paradox and contradiction. And the four big ones are: God is everywhere yet invisible. Life is lived forward but only understood backward. That's from the theologian Kierkegaard. Happiness is best pursued through selflessness. And here's the big one. The incarnation is at the center of the Christian story, while the resurrection is the rest of the story. But just try explaining that to a stranger. It takes an enormous work of faith to take our fragile pieces and hold them together in this miracle of meaning and purpose. And not only is faith supposed to help us find comprehensive wholeness from these pieces, the work of faith is constantly making our picture larger, constantly enlarging our territory, as we are told in that familiar prayer of Jabez. Several years ago, there was a wonderful little book that came out that I think most of us got to read. It emerged, which was designed to help people accommodate change, especially that kind of change that resulted in contradiction. And the name of that little book was Who Moved My Cheese? It was a funny little book with a couple of little mice, Sniff and Scurry, one of which went around and got things together and realized that there was change and wasn't really quite sure to do about it, while the other one went and prepared for the next step. We here in our family at St. Mark's find our cheese being moved just a bit these days, as we find ourselves facing enormous change in the days ahead. However, we will, through this faith about which Paul is speaking in today's epistle, find comprehensive wholeness for our pieces, and we will watch our picture begin to grow larger and larger along with our territory. For as our bishop tells us, we are resurrection people. And as we embark on this new beginning, on a new journey of faith, as we are assured that we are loved, that we matter, that what we do here will continue to have significance, and especially what we do for others will have eternal significance, then the labors of love, all those things we do out of the love of God for other people, they grow out of this vision of life that is given by this faith which Paul is talking about. We call them labors because often they are hard. As we reach out to our local mission work at the Austin Street Center, or Captain Hope's kids, or our neighbors who we hosted yesterday for our fall festival, the work we do to assemble food for Irving Cares, and so many other ministries are done out of love in response to the love of God for us in Jesus Christ. We rarely know the people that we help, and yet we keep on doing these things, these labors of love and gratitude for God's love to us, and so that we can be Jesus to others. Labors of love involve doing hard things, and sometimes not so hard things, for others on lots of different levels. The glass of cool water to a thirsty person, the winter jacket and backpack for the school-aged child, scholarships to camp for those who were unable to afford them. These are deeds of kindness from one person to another. And then there is forgiveness. Forgiveness of others is one of the hardest labors of love that we are called to do. Out of the love of God for us while we were yet sinners, we serve that love by forgiving others. The labor of love is to act toward the one who is offended as though they had not offended. Indeed, that is hard labor. Yet the patience of hope is joy that brightens all of our work. So why are we working to do all of these things? What do we expect? What gives us the reason to believe that what we want will be any different? What we expect will happen? We can endure almost any kind of how and what when life is sustained by a why. The hope of the Christian faith then is grounded in the victory of Christ over death. The faith and our love of this family here at St. Mark's is a response to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And our hope is rooted in the promise that what we've seen in Christ is God's intention for all life. Our hope never becomes exhausted because it is not grounded in our own strength, in our economy, or in the quality of our education. Rather, it comes to us from the grace of God that we have received in Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And in wonder of God's resurrection of Jesus, we continue to plant small seeds of goodness and justice in the conviction that they will grow into large bushes or trees of goodness and justice. We do not become discouraged when resources become low and crowds drift away, because God raised up the one abandoned on the cross. We work in hope and confidence that where we are doing the will and purpose of God, He will never forsake or abandon. The patience of hope is built on the incarnation and the resurrection. And so it remains steadfast through all the darkness and the sorrow. The steadfast hope in Christ fills us with the confidence that we labor on toward the morning and the coming of the joy of God's people. And so we give thanks wherever and whenever, as Paul tells us, we are blessed by the works of faith, the labors of love, and the patience of hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to fill us with your life-giving spirit of grace and hope, to hear all the prayers of your faithful, that as we continue in this fellowship family in your service, you will, through your bounty, enable us to continue blessing others, and in so doing, continue the good works you have begun in us. Amen.